Thank you for downloading this episode of the Dad Podcast. You want to help support the show? Tell your friends. Get the word out. Facebook, Twitter, smoke signals. Maybe even take out a Craigslist personal. Whatever you gotta do.
Listen to me, listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun.
Board Up Sucks. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley.
Oh, I'm so hot.
Oh, that's right. He's not here. He is on a trip with the family. Had to go. Going to be gone for a week. So I'm going to try. I'm doing my best. Here's the thing. I don't think that this episode is going to be so bad that it's going to end up in a vault, like the one that shall never be named or ever see the light of day, unless you happen to be listening live at mixlr.com/dadpodcast. Listen, I'm going to figure it out eventually, but right now I'm going to work. Listen, here's the thing. I don't want to sound like I'm complaining because, honest to God, I'm having the time of my life. We're writing bits and doing things, lots of exciting things happening at the radio station. So I'm very thankful, very happy. But here's the thing. I'm going into work at about 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning, and then I come home at about 12:30, 1 o'clock, have a little bit of time to eat because I don't get to eat during that time. I'll bring like a granola bar or something like that. And then I sit for a little bit, and then I go get the kids, and my day continues. Now, Justin, why are you complaining? I'm not complaining. I'm telling you, maybe, possibly, psychologically, so that you understand that it is not my intent to come in here and half-ass this show. That is not my intent. That is just the way it's happening. Come on now. Seriously.
Asshole.
I know. I'm sorry. So, not a lot of parenting happens, I've found, when it's a very, very, very weird thing. I don't know if I think I mentioned it a little bit to you guys, but now that I'm working in the morning, Natalie feeds the kids. She started off strong. Week one was doing things like making pancakes and bacon, which I made pancakes, but I never pulled off the full-blown bacon. And I feel like it makes me less of a spouse because I'm sitting there going, you know how you do that thing? This is a person you love with all of your being, all of your heart, and you say, like, yeah, good luck with that. I can't wait for you to fall flat on your face. How is that love? I'll tell you how that's love. That is real love in its purest of pure forms. In my opinion, I talk about it in my stand-up where I say that everybody's had that moment where you watch the Dateline NBC show where the guy offed his wife or the lady offed her husband, and you say to yourself, well, that's why the dumbass got caught, because they did that right there. I would do this, and I would not get caught. And if you do that, or you're giggling to yourself, that means that you are in a healthy relationship right now. So she's doing pancakes and bacon. She cooks some shredded chicken tacos, and it's a very weird thing for me to realize that my wife is an awesome homemaker, but at the same time, I'd be lying if I wasn't like, well, kind of sucks. You know, you're replaceable. I imagine guys, dads, we're not wired this way, right, fellas? We're not wired to, when the kids start to grow up, we have a little bit. You know what I mean? I have moments where the kids grow up and I get a little emotional, and you know, when they go to school and stuff like that, but we kind of suppress that. Butcher Drew just said in the chat room that my wife is so hot. I'm not sure how you know that at all.
Oh, I'm so hot.
But yeah, she is. My wife is, she's smoking. I ain't going to lie. Outkicked my coverage, as they say, on that one. If you want to give me a call, 877-222-8323, BT Tubbs. But what I was saying is I think dads are wired to where we suppress these feelings, but moms have a lot of the empty nest syndrome. I've seen a lot of people where they have the kids that are leaving college and the moms are always panicked and the dads always seem like super cool with it. I think our dear friend Paco might have the opposite reaction. I'm not sure. He's right there on the doorstep right now. I mean, he's got a senior and then another one that I think is going to be a freshman, if memory serves correctly. So right there. And I always like also the dichotomy of the people like in my world of toddlers looking at people where their kids are like moving out and it seems like a tunnel. You know what I mean? That just, it's like you swam the English Channel. It's like, what the hell? Like that probe going all the way to Pluto. It just seems like, cause it literally is going to take 10 years. Good analogy, Justin. Or is it not really an analogy? Cause it's the exact example. Let's move on is what my point is. So I watch my wife and I have that same feeling of emptiness where it's like, well, now what will my purpose be? Because this job at the radio station, as awesome as it is not going to be the kind of job that can make daddy a full-blown provider to where my wife can stay home, even sell real estate. I mean, theoretically, she could. We would just have to cut back a lot on our lifestyle kind of thing. But there's just a lot of flux, man. A lot of flux, a lot of stuff in the air. Very happy about it. Not complaining in any way, shape, or form. I'm very thankful that that the hard work is paying off. And more than anything, I'm also very thankful for you people. It sounds like I'm kissing your ass, but I've said this to my wife, that I'm very thankful for the people that have found the show and have enjoyed it. I'm thankful for people like Butcher Drew.
Asshole!
All right.
Who have made a fantastic community and friends. He sent me a very sweet message saying that, you know, you guys are having a really good time hanging out with each other. So if you're not a part of that Facebook fan page, you should first, you could, of course, like the Dad Podcast, facebook.com/dadpodcast. But if you want to chat with other like-minded parents who have a similar sense of humor, go to Facebook. Look, search for Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast. And there's a fan lounge is a good way to put that. You guys had to have heard about this. I know sometimes I don't like to talk about news. And it's such a big part of my job right now. But I can't help but pass this up. This story kind of reminds me, for anybody who's been listening to the show for a long time, we have a listener, Tom, who sent a very nice letter, or email, I should say. Who sends letters anymore? To me and the fantastic ladies over at naptimeradio.com, BD Dubs, if you need more podcast fill-in. And he talked about essentially how we had saved him because he was rebuilding his house after Hurricane Sandy had torn it apart. And I remember thinking, like, this guy is rebuilding his house. And I actually talked to him a couple times. He's a guest on the show. And he basically kind of broke down. And one of my favorite parts of his story is that this man is rebuilding his house after a natural disaster destroyed it. One of the biggest natural disasters, if not the, to hit the East Coast. And he's rebuilding his house by himself. And he still gets the, you know, the bitching and the moaning from the wife. Now, here's the thing. I'm not saying that his wife is a bitch. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is, just like I was saying before, just like I secretly want my wife to kind of fall on her face a little bit. And you can't help but know, you kind of want the wife to be like, oh my God, he's rebuilding the house. But the reality of it is that it doesn't matter. We talked about the guy who proposed. Remember, he stopped a robbery in the middle of his strip mall proposal. And sorry, my father's calling me. And so this is what I'm saying. Three Americans stopped a terrorist attack on a train headed for Paris. Now, if you're not familiar with the story, these are military guys. They're on vacation in France, and they're in their early 20s. Guy comes out of the bathroom with an AK-47. He starts to shoot. He gets, I think, one shot off, if memory serves correctly. We've talked about this story a couple of times on the other show at KFI. And he gets off, and I think one of the guys gets hit in the neck, and then the gun jams. So he goes after him, and he takes the guys down. And these three guys wrestle to one guy, gets him in a chokehold. They wrestle the gun away. And at one point, the guy pulls out a box cutter and like cuts him and everything. This guy, his injuries are so bad, he has to kind of stick his finger and realize that he's got to plug an artery while he's got this guy in a chokehold waiting for somebody like the authorities to show up. So they get this great honor and everything from the French government, as they should. These guys are fucking heroes and badass sons of bitches that nobody would ever want to mess with or cross paths with, just like the guy. It's a little bit bigger than the guy stopping the robbery at the Chipotle or whatever it was. But what I love about this story is that these guys, probably not married now, but one day will be, and one day they will get nagged on because they, you know, left their socks somewhere, or they left the toilet seat up, or they're going to have an argument about how the house is too cold and what the temperature should be set at. And they're also, if they're lucky enough to join our lifestyle, they're going to have to change some kind of, you know, tarry green Merconium-esque stool just like the rest of us. And it almost seems unfair that these guys who saved hundreds of lives are still going to come crashing down to normal life. I know some of you may, if you guys hate these surveys, then you might want to just go ahead and skip the rest of this episode, because I'm solo, and I found that if I talk too much by myself and I get too reflective, I get kind of heavy, and I don't feel like doing that. I had a really great day, lots of good stuff happening, so I found this article that I thought was interesting. Top 10 ways your coworkers behave like children. I haven't spent a lot of time in offices. I've spent a lot of time office adjacent. You know what I mean? I've been around people who work and in their working environment near them while they are working. And I do believe that this is very much true. You'd like to think that we could all behave like mature adults, since, you know, we are all adults, but that really doesn't happen. A new survey by Career Builder found that 77% of us have seen a coworker do something childish in the office. I think all of us have seen adults act childish, and it's very humorous to me. Here, top 10, refusing to share with other people. Everybody seems, and here's the thing, I think that's kind of me. I don't understand, you know, you always have to have the don't touch in the fridge at the office. You have to write don't touch. And I never could figure out if this was somebody who's like, you know, like Schmeagle or whatever his name from Lord of the Rings, like, Precious, don't touch my yogurt. You know what I mean? Like, they're overly possessive over their shitty food that nobody, because who really wants a sack lunch? Sack lunches are like the shittiest form of nutrition. I mean, no, I'm going to backpedal. It goes McDonald's, then sack lunches, then, because McDonald's is not nutritious, but at least it tastes good for all the bad it is. You know what I mean? And then underneath is Taco Bell. Now, see, Taco Bell tastes really good. It's just really bad for you. What's some real, like, cafeteria food? I feel like, but adult cafeteria food. I was thinking about this. My son has the pin. I don't know if you guys are doing this. My son has the pin for elementary school now that they go and they fucking put in a 4-digit number that the kid has to memorize. And then that's how they pay for their hot lunch or whatever. We call them hot lunches. I don't know what they call them now, but the cafeteria lunch. And that food was horrible. But see, I remember, especially that square pizza. Did you guys have the square pizza with the pepperoni chunks that I'm sure probably wasn't even really pepperoni? It was whatever byproducts weren't good enough to go into pepperoni is what they would put on that pizza. And I loved it. Oh my God, did I love it. That was the best part about, one of the many great parts about my father making me be employed at 9 is that I could go to the school and get the pepperoni pizza whenever I felt like it, because I always had cash on hand. Oh, that was so good. But I feel like sack lunch is supposed to be better, but the school lunch cafeteria is better than adult cafeteria. Like a hospital adult, like sack lunch is just above that. That's where I'm going to rake sack lunch. Yet people feel like they have to protect it for some stupid reason. Throwing a temper tantrum. I've never seen anybody throw a temper tantrum at work. Storming out of the room, I've seen a ton of. Starting a rumor about a coworker. I'm surprised that's number 7. That should be number 1. Forming a clique. See, that's the thing I've noticed, is that there's definitely cliques at even my job, which you would think that it would not be. I guess I would think. Maybe everybody's like, you know, shit, Sherlock. Of course there is. Making faces behind someone's back. I think I had somebody actually do that. It's going to be really embarrassing if she finds a show. But I listen to, so while I'm doing the show at the station, I put headphones on and I can't really hear anything in the room because people come into the control room and they talk. And because I need to focus on what I'm doing, I'm not as good at it as the other people who do my job. So I can't have like a sixth sense about what's going on behind them. So I have to listen. So I have these headphones that I got that kind of cancel everything else out around me. Well, I've noticed there's been twice that there's a someone I work with that I don't think likes me, and they've complained to me about people who come into the room while I'm there. Isn't that crazy? There was a girl that came in, and she was like, she said, what was it? She came in, she was like, how are things going? And then there was an awkward silence. It's so weird about human behavior that people think that they that nobody notices that that's going on. You know, they, this is a perfect example, I think, of how people behave. You know how your kid will lie about something and they act like you don't know that they're lying, even though you can clearly see that they're lying? And they think that they're somehow going to outsmart, especially toddlers are so guilty of this because their poor brains are so stupid that they can't really keep up with what, you know, is going on, or logic. They can't figure all that stuff out. Teenagers, I imagine, I've seen my nieces and nephews lie, and they're just horrible at it. That's all I think any parent can hope for, is that your kid's a horrible liar. But, you know, that awkwardness in the conversation happens, and then I see her write a note on a piece of paper. And then she says, I miss the other guy. Like, I miss whatever, I'll say his name, like say it's Jerry or something. I miss Jerry. And that's the guy who did my job, who left that job before I'm doing the audition. And it's just funny because I know that I joke around about being abrasive on the show, but I think maybe if you listen to the show that you probably kind of would like to hang out. I kind of think I'm a fun guy to hang around most of the time. I think it sucks to be married to me. I'll be honest about that. I mean, there are good parts where it's like, yeah, sure, I like to help out around the house and I'm amazing in the sack. That's always a bonus. Man, this is not good not having somebody else in here to hold me accountable for my bullshit. Let's move on. Then she said, I said it. All right. Playing a prank on another coworker. That's not childish. That's fun. I guess that makes me a child at work. I am so excited. For anybody who's tuning in to Wake Up Call with Gary Hoffman, because I know he's not going to listen to this. Oh, I hope not. Gary, if you started listening to the show, please stop right now because something really fun in your life is happening. I would totally hang with all the listeners. Jessica just said she'd hang with me. So for anybody who's been listening since I started, one of the shows that Gary started off in the morning, if you want to hear it, it's Gary Hoffman with two N's. On iTunes, you can listen to all the podcasts. It's only like 30 minutes because it's an hour-long show, and they do, you know, 3 to 4 10-minute-long talk segments. And he's a very funny guy. If you like this show, you'll like him. Trust me. And we're doing another bit tomorrow. We're having a fake rap battle between two white guys. It's going to be awesome. And so I wrote a rap for Gary that he performed perfectly, just impeccably. I love it already. So anyway, he found a banana next to where all the coffee pots are, and he said, what kind of animal leaves a banana behind? And so I asked him where he gets his coffee from in the building, and now I'm waiting a couple days. And now what I'm going to start doing is leaving bananas there every day. So if this could be like a nice little scavenger hunt. You can listen to this show and know what's really going on. Be the only people listening who are in on the bit. And then listen to if he actually mentions it. Because my plan is I'm going to leave a banana for a few days, and then I'm going to leave like two bananas. And then three, and if he doesn't say anything, I'm going to start progressing through larger fruit and larger fruit arrangements is my plan. So I think that's a fun prank. So I guess I'm a child. Tattling on another coworker, pouting because something didn't go their way. But I pout on this show and I pout privately, but I don't know that I would pout publicly. I'll be honest. I've had a couple times when I was employed that I cried, you know what I mean? Like, but I was really young. I mean, and I would get frustrated. And then number one is whining. 55% of people whine. And I think that's just human beings being human beings. That's my personal opinion. You just freaking whine and bitch and moan and complain about everything. Just like the guys who save the people on the freaking train. They're going to have somebody complain about, they're going to complain about something. The people whose lives were saved are still going to complain. 10 life lessons every parent should teach their kids. So if you're looking for just a simplification of your job as a parent, I got it right here for you. You're welcome. Problem solved. New survey found that the 59 most important life lessons parents should teach their kids, that's way too many. So let's focus on the top 10 and hope our kids just kind of figure out the other 49 on their own. Okay, here it is. Number 10, admit when you're wrong. I think that's huge. Be helpful. This is what I love. Be confident. Done. Nailed it. Isn't that great? You could just teach your kid to do. Why not just say, be a millionaire? Why isn't that number one? Be perfect. Stupid. Treat other people with kindness. I've been getting a lot of emails, and I forgot to mention them because I've been so crazy, and I'm sorry. I will get a hold of this. I promise you I will. This will become routine, but I just got to deal with this transition real quick. By the way, super disappointing if I don't get this job, man. I really feel like I'm crushing it, and I don't know why they wouldn't hire me. But anyway, lots of people have been getting caught up on episodes and commenting on the kindness of, you know, Jacob with the little boy who has ADD at his school and how he was being patient and playing with him and stuff. And thank you very much for your kind words. But, you know, it's a thing where it's very weird because there's a part of me that feels like I shouldn't take credit for it. But there's a part of me is like, fuck that. You know, why do I have to always take the credit for the shitty things, but never get to take credit for the good things? So I say everyone who is hearing the sound of my voice right now, you get to take credit for how good looking your kid is, how well behaved they are. And yet you can turn the other eye. Blame your spouse on the things that they do that are shitty or make them ugly. brush your teeth twice a day. That is top 10 most important things in a world where people get veneer teeth anyway. Isn't that a thing? I love number 5. I think this is horseshit. Don't talk to strangers. I mean, everybody, honestly, do you think your kid's just going to walk up to some, we have a primate part of our brain that makes us cautious. And I know that there are, you know, anomalies out there with you. Everybody's, there are probably people yelling into their earbuds right now going, I like the idea that you use it like a tin can and a string. I just had a picture in my head of somebody listening and taking the earbud and go, no, my kid will talk to anybody into one earbud. But you know what I mean? Like, the kid's not going to talk to anybody. You know, my kids are pretty outgoing, and you ever try to get them to do something funny in front of even a family member, and they just, you know? So why is this? And we talked about this with Julie Lithcott-Hames. If you didn't hear that episode, go back. HowToRaiseAnAdult.com. Great book. Definitely get it. I really applaud her message. And she kind of said that in the 80s, there were like 3 or 4 highly publicized kidnapping cases, and it made everybody really concerned about stranger danger. And subsequently, it's become this huge issue. And realistically, it's not. Always tell the truth. See, I'm a very honest person to a flaw, and I don't know that I would even buy into that. Why? You know what I mean? There are moments when you have to lie. You can't always tell the truth, like a job interview. You would never get a job. I mean, I told that story when I had to fucking take the computer test 4 times in order to get a fucking job at a video store. That's horseshit. Respect your elders. Yes, that one I agree with. I don't care who the fuck they are. Show some respect. And that doesn't mean you have to, you know, bow down to them or, you know what I mean? But you show a little respect. There's this, I think there's something wrong with us that we don't respect people who are successful as much as we should. And I think we don't respect elders. I talked about this too, that I really look forward to being, I want to know what it's like to be old now. That's the thing I kind of daydream about. That's how interesting my life is, that I think about, because you look at an old person now and you always look like, oh, poor person. I saw a guy today and I kind of realized that I'm like, you know, at one point that guy was like pining over 22-year-old chicks, and that brain is still in that head, but it just doesn't know how to work a TiVo. 10 things you shouldn't own after 30. I have a feeling that there's going to be a lot of these that a lot of us are breaking. Someone posted a list of top 10 things you shouldn't own after you turn 30. Here's what they came up with. Number 10, fake plants. By the time you're 30, you should be able to keep a real plant alive. Who the fuck cares? Glow-in-the-dark stars that go on your ceiling, unless they're in your kid's bedroom. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of think, here's what happens with the glow-in-the-dark stars, by the way. Glow-in-the-dark stars are the decorative equivalent of the cockroach. You know, like, I feel like I've moved into lots of apartments, especially if they have a vaulted ceiling, and there's just glow-in-the-dark stars that are blended into the stucco texture. You know what I mean? Like, it's just in there, and they never come down, and they're just there forever and ever and ever. Like, there would be a nuclear winter, and there would still be glowing stars on a vaulted ceiling in some apartment in Southern California. That's my opinion. A beanbag chair. I got a bone to pick. Is there anybody out there? Send me an email, please. Who likes beanbag chairs? Am I crazy? they're not comfortable. You just slide out of them. If you have a pet, what do you mean, Justin? Please answer. I'm looking at it right now. I'm sorry for people who are listening to this as a podcast, but people are telling me that they're calling and I'm hitting refresh. There's no phone number that came out. 877-222-8323. So, beanbag chairs are uncomfortable. They're horrible. You slide in them. Although, here's the thing. I would like to bone in one. I think boning in a beanbag chair might be fun, but then you get rid of it. That's all. That's, you know what I mean? It's like, there we did. It's like a waterbed, a beanbag, and what would be my third one? A thing that I would like to bone on that I haven't. Maybe a boat. And I don't mean like a cruise ship. I mean like a sailboat or something like that. But I would do that, and I would immediately throw away that beanbag chair. Picture frames with inspirational messages on them like live, love, and laugh. One or two are okay, but not 20. Who the fuck has 20 of anything? But anyway, see, Natalie likes this stuff. And I don't know if that's a chick thing, but sometimes I think it's kind of cheesy. I like the saying, and it does represent our family life, but to say like live, laugh, love, we have something on the back, in the back house, you know, cause I'm fucking rich. We have, and it says that, I think it says actually live, love, and laugh. And it seems kind of cheesy, but that's kind of who we are. You know what I mean? Like, we're very happy people. I don't know. A huge shelf of DVDs, and the same goes for CDs. If you still got a rack of CDs, you got problems. I like that. That's another thing that, you know how you, your parents, probably for most of you listening, or maybe some of you are these people, is that you have the person who has the vinyl collection and they're going to be super obsessed with that. You know, our generation is going to be, there's going to be people who are obsessed with having CD collections, and that is awesome. Jessica has an interesting question about having sex in a beanbag chair. She says, why would it be comfy to have sex in if it's not comfy to sit on? Jessica, let me say this to anybody else who is listening to my voice that has the same question. Not all sex is meant to be comfortable. It's just to say we did it. You like sex in the shower can be pretty awesome. I mean, here's the thing. All of us listening, we like, I think, sex in the shower because that's our hideaway place. That's where we go to get away from the kids. But in all reality, not very comfortable. One of the most awkward things I've done sexually was try to have sex in the shower, I think. It was like, usually we try to do it, you know, like front ways, and then, you know, and then it's kind of weird because, you know, my wife has to put a foot here and there's no real foot. If I ever build my own bathroom, there is going to be some kind of, you know, 50 shades of water hygiene situation in there, like just a random tile that's offset a little bit so that it's in a perfect spot just to provide a foothold. You know what I mean? But it is kind of hot that I feel like there needs. See, I'm sitting here talking about, like, see, this is how the Warshams do it. There needs to be some kind of bracing. Brace yourself, baby, which is no, not true. But, you know, like, that's not comfortable. So you go out there. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Butcher Drew. Liberator-esque. See, a liberator is, can you could use a beanbag chair as a liberator. Holy balls. Oh, you're welcome, America. What have I done? Something awesome. You'd use a beanbag chair as a liberator. It's like a memory foam thing, ladies. It hugs all your curves in the right places. Yeah, that's how I make it comfy. You are welcome. You are welcome. But to say that, to get back to my shower point, it's hot. It's really hot, ladies. I've said this many times on stage. There is nothing in this world. Yep, I didn't peek out there. I'm sorry. World more attractive than you looking at your man, right? For like, he's at one end of the tub and you're at the other with that shower head just above and to the back, and that freaking water, and then you add soap to that mix. Oh my God, ladies, you got to go home and do that for your men. There's gonna be a lot of boning after this show. I'm feeling it. I don't know who has this, a lava lamp. You know who has this? My son, my 7-year-old son. Got like a ton of fucking tickets for his birthday party at like a John's Incredible Pizza. It's like a Chuck E. Cheese, you know what I mean? But a different kind and bigger if they don't have them in your area. And all of my nieces and nephews, because everybody's older, they all did the fun thing and they just went nuts on the games. I got tokens for everybody. And then what they did, the older kids went and played the ticket games and then gave all the tickets to my son. And so he had, you know, I don't know, 5,000 tickets, and it got him a fucking lava lamp, and he likes it. Like, he's got a handlebar mustache and looks to listen to The Doors. I just hope it sticks around. I like the idea that in, let's see, my son is going to be probably, I'm guessing, of at that time. See, now I think, for me, sex age was like 15, 16. But I think it might have dipped down a little bit. Although I heard a thing that they're actually, kids are getting older before they have sex, which is great. Because I think we would all think, no way. But I think that might be happening. So let's say he's going to have sex probably in the time frame of 2025. I like the idea of in that quasi, a little bit more futuristic world that by that time we're going to have what? We'll be on iPhone 10, I'm guessing. And he's going to be having sex in the same fashion that his grandfather did when he was a teenager or in his 20s or something with the lady's underwear over the top of a lava lamp. If he doesn't do that, I'm going to ask him to do it just to make it creepy. Oh, we're doing great, guys. I got to go get my kid soon. So this is interesting. I didn't have a chance to read this one all the way through, but I like the headline. It costs a woman $976 up front to land a rich guy. It says here, I totally get why women want to date rich guys. You can only go on so many dates to Applebee's before you're craving something different. But if you see, here's the thing again. Fella, and I think the moms that listen to the show, they get it. You'd never want that chick, right? Don't you look at that those guys? We all have the friend who's attracted to that chick. You know what I mean? The blonde who it takes, you know, 8 hours in the morning to get ready and everything is a freaking process. Guys, I think Family Guys are really not into that. Like, we could see it walking by and go, wow. But I think Family Guys really know what bullshit comes along with that. And I know it's not romantic for the ladies that are listening to this. I don't think – because the way I'm painting, and it's only because I'm a guy in that way at least, and I don't know how to articulate this in a romantic way. But there is something real – like I said, you in the shower and a girl who could get up, throw on some yoga pants. We all know we're fans of the yoga pants and the sports bra and whip it up in a ponytail and look just nice, just sweet as could be. And so I don't – and those are also the chicks who could go to an Applebee's. You know what I mean? My wife's in my favorite restaurant is Outback Steakhouse. Now, we like to go to the Fogo de Chao. We'll go drop every once in a while, like a $200. But can you imagine trying to keep up with that fucking lifestyle of, you know, zipping around and everything? And you see all those guys, you know, the guys that have the bodies look spray tan. And you they're with these chicks that they just got to jump through so many hoops. And I'm like, dude, if you had, here's what you need. I feel like if those guys could get a girl, like a woman in her 40s, divorced with like kids in their late teens, 20s, you know what I mean? She just hangs out for a couple years. Because you can get a pretty hot chick in her 40s, not pretty, you can get a really hot chick in her 40s. And you get her when she's had the kids and she's down to earth and doesn't need all this shit. And she's like, yeah, let's bone on this private jet. That would be, oh, I'm going to add that. I'm going to add that. I think I would like to bone on a charter jet at some point. I'm surprised that's not a thing. You know what I mean? You could fly to the moon, but you can't book a chartered flight. I know you could book a chartered flight, but I'm saying just for the sake of sex. Just to book a plane to go have sex on. That would be awesome. But if you do want to date a guy with money, it's going to take a pretty steep investment on your end up front. Got to spend money to make money, right? A new study found it cost an average of $976 up front to land a wealthy boyfriend or husband. That's the total cost of things like expensive clothes, jewelry, and underwear, drinks at fancy bars and clubs, and a trip to an exotic place where rich guys go on vacation. Frankly, $976 sounds like a bargain for all that. Yeah, but it really is what it takes. 94% of women say you need to take all of those steps to get attention from a guy with money. But would you really want that? Hey, here's the thing. The reality is 970. See, up front, but I don't know how much it costs to maintain that stuff. Well, we're going to follow up on that. No. Look at me take this way too seriously. I really got engulfed in that one. Oh, two more. Top seven things that make a woman feel loved, fellas. This one's for you. New survey found that the best ways you can make a woman feel loved, and shockingly, texting a photo of your junk with a caption, all yours, didn't make the... Who's doing that? There's no guy out there is sending a picture. See, here's the thing. The moms that listen to this show are pretty open-minded sexually. I think that's obvious. So I'm wondering, ladies, let me know. Do you think it's interesting? Like, here's the thing. I know you don't look at a penis and go, yes, I need that. I mean, maybe you do that, but not because of the look, I imagine. I don't know if it's because I'm a dude and I'm not and I'm straight, but I just feel like we can all agree that a penis by itself is not really what does it. I think it's the somehow that's I don't know if that's just bad timing, but one of the dads in the chat room sheepishly raised his hand. But oh, you sent your picture. Now I get it. I thought he was saying that he likes the look of junk, but what he's saying is he sent a picture of his junk. Well, here's the thing. If it's to your wife and it's a joke, you know what I mean? Like you're pretending to be that guy, then yeah. But dude, if you honestly said, just so you know, it's on tonight and here's how you know, and you send a picture of junk, then yeah, no. But now somebody's saying, I don't want a pic of my spouse's junk. You want a picture of somebody else's junk? I don't know. Now this is getting into territory I don't even want to dive into. But my point is that I don't think this is really complicated, right? So let's see. It's carrying her bags. You know what I like to do? Let's make sure I'm not blowing this. Why is that not even on this list? I like to open the door for my wife. We're in a weird time, right? I do a lot of Mr. and Mrs. Like, not Mrs. so much, because I've noticed that with the Mrs., it has an age connotation with women that they don't like. But I know a lot of dudes, especially at work, they're older than me and they're higher up the chain. And I'll say Mr. Handle, right? And he said on the air, don't call me that. I don't like it, you know? And that's really weird. And maybe it'll happen to me one day. I don't think about that stuff that much, but the opening of the door, the old school, like sometimes that's, if you do it for a stranger, then it seems like, oh, you're a woman and you can't handle the door. But I don't think that's what women want. I think chivalry is a good thing. So I like it and I do it, and I wish I did it every time, then I would be a perfect man. But I do it occasionally and it's nice, right? Taking her on a surprise weekend trip. Oh, that's the best. You can have a lot of sex in a shower, I bet, on that surprise trip. And I think the trick, fellas, is, if I can offer a little tidbit, is that you wait for the sex to be initiated on her end. Don't get too excited. Just play it cool or whatever. Play it chill. I think there's something, I don't know. I haven't quite figured this out. I'm still on a lab coat about this. But there's something about wait until she comes around that I think is a smart move. Long game. You know what I mean? You're playing the long game, not the short game. Buying her a random gift. I think that's a good, yeah. Offering to get the groceries. That's the life that we live. Getting groceries is a way of showing your wife that you love her. When Jacob had a play date with a friend of his at school, and she said, you know, is it cool? I said, yeah. And then she kind of said, I'll leave because he's kind of clingy. Like, she wanted it to be an opportunity for him to go someplace else, be around some different people, which I totally get. I agree with. And then she came and walked so she could figure out where we lived, and she was hanging out. And then she kind of was like, I go, you know, so you know, you could totally stay if you want, but if you leave, it's not like I'll be upset. And she goes, oh, do you mind if I just go grocery shopping? And I go, no, that's totally fine. And she went and ran and went grocery shopping real quick. It's so funny how much easier that is without kids. Doing the dishes. I know that we've talked about that, you know, cleaning up around the house. I've heard moms have written into the show about how much they appreciate that. Giving her a compliment. No shit, Sherlock. I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I know that. I do it every time. Whenever my wife walks by, especially if I'm watching TV and there's something about the way that, you know, the fries come with that shake, if you're picking up what I'm putting down, and I let her know. I let her know. I text her a piece of my junk right there in the living room, or I just whip it out. Cooking for her. Well, I do that shit all the time. Can you imagine Paco cooking for her to show he loves her? It's probably such a pain in the ass. Okay, now this one, hold on, I'm going to try this, and this, I don't know, we had this story on the show, and it came up when I was looking around for stuff for this, and I went, oh yeah, that's right, and I wanted to play music for Handle on the News on this, because I think it's so great, but we never got to the story. So it's a guy who lost his junk in a horrific accident, just got an 8-inch bionic penis. Let's see if I nailed it.
We're ready to make the world's first bionic man.
No, dang it, I didn't. Let's try this again. I think it's right here. A guy who lost his junk in a horrific accident just got an 8-inch bionic penis.
Faster.
Oh, so close. Just got an 8-inch bionic penis.
Better. Stronger.
No, I want to hear.
Better.
Yeah, 8-inch bionic penis.
Better. Stronger. Faster.
$2 million penis, ladies. Buckle up, bitches! It's coming! And it's robot-powered, whore! That's good times. Can you imagine? Like, listen, I feel like I'd spend a lot of time talking to moms on this show, but can you imagine, ladies? I feel like there's good and bad that comes with this. This guy had his junk ripped off in a horrific accident, and yet right now I feel weirdly jealous of him. I do too. A 43-year-old Muhammad Abed of Edinburgh, and he's a terrorist? I'm kidding. Was hit by a car when he was six. He was dragged, more than 600 yards, and his genitals were ripped off in the process. Now, 37 years later, the technology is finally ready to make him whole again. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. Better. A team of doctors.
Stronger.
At University College London just successfully gave Muhammad a bionic penis. It's totally functional, so he can pee and have sex just like anyone else. Not just like anyone else. Listen, I have never had bionic penis sex. When he wants to get engorged, he just hits a button on the bionic penis and it springs up. Come on. Can you imagine? Here's the thing. This is going to get really creepy, and I'm sorry. But imagine, fellas, you're a chick, okay? And it's go time, and, you know, I don't know if you're married to this Muhammad, the Scottish terrorist. And now it's go time, but this is the first time, and he drops it, and you just see some kind of weird, like, because I imagine it looks like Dirk Diggler's penis that Mark Wahlberg had at the end of that, at Boogie Nights, you know, that he just kind of lays it out there on the counter almost. Like, I imagine it kind of looks like a smaller version of that, you know what I mean, just sitting there hanging, because it can't be spongy, you know, like the real thing. Somebody said, I'm going to vomit. But you know what I mean? And it's sitting there, and then you, like, he just hits a button, like some kind of part on his pelvis, like the Pillsbury Doughboy, like, and then, and then all of a sudden. And I feel like there's a part of me that if I'm trying to, like, listen, I used to do acting, so I can engulf a role. If I wanted to get into this character, I feel like if I'm a chick, I could kind of be like, oh, shit, it's on. Like, that would be kind of awesome. I mean, imagine being able to have the enjoyment of your vibrator or your thibrator at 8 inches. Well, that's actually 8 inches isn't. Now I sound like an asshole either way. I was for some reason, 8 inches, I kept imagining it to be honest, like 18 or 16 inches. But I guess that's what? That's 2 or 3 inches bigger than average. Good for him, though. He had to go 37 years without it. Yeah, go big or go home. That's what I say. But you know what I mean? Like, I feel like as a chick, I would be kind of like, yeah, let's do it. I'm in. You know what I mean? That's a good point. Butcher Drew says, if it doesn't spin, vibrate, pulsate, then he got ripped off. It's true. It needs to have, like, there. Have you seen those dildos? I don't know what's going on. I think we've talked about this on the show. It looks like a death machine in a sci-fi movie, but inverted. Like, instead of, like, yeah, we called it the Sarlacc, the Star Wars beast. It's like that thing that's kind of sifting around, and it's got beads and shit on it, and it's... When you look at those, as a guy, all I can now sit there and think is like, yeah, there's nothing I'm doing close to that. Nothing I'm bringing. The only thing I got going on is warmth. That's it. Which, by the way, Paco brought it up, I think, when we were talking about this very subject, that show Humans on AMC. It's available on demand. Very interesting show. I really liked it. But it's worth it just to kind of watch the evolution of, I mean, he kind of spoiled it where the guy has sex with the robot. And it's funny to watch his reaction of like, no, it's not cheating, but don't watch it with your spouse, as we learned from Paco. That would be a bad idea. Well, that was our show. I got to go pick up my son. I'm sorry that it's a little bit of a quickie. I hope you enjoyed it. If this does not annoy you in any way, shape, or form, and you actually enjoy it, please let me know. If you kind of find it annoying, I actually got a really nice note from a listener with like a kind of a criticism. I mean, she's a friend of mine, so I think it makes it different, but one of the things she pointed out is that when I have authors on and I interview them, that a lot of times to kind of create a context with the author, I repeat a lot of the stories that you guys have already heard. And I never really kind of – I never thought of it that way. And so I'm going to be more conscientious of that and try to find a way to limit that so that we can have more time to let them talk. But so you know, there are some times that maybe it can't tell when you're listening, but I can definitely tell when I'm talking and when I'm talking to an author, somebody, and they – Julie is not the case, and that's what this was about. Julie was great. But there are authors that I've talked to that it's like, I don't know. Like, I gotta drive this now. I gotta be the one, because you don't want to just lay it on them and then them go. So if that's what's happening, that might be why. Just to give you a little peek behind the curtain, and I'm babbling. So send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Give us a like, facebook.com/dadpodcast. Definitely join the fan lounge. I'm gonna call it lounge or area. I don't know. Area sounds genital oriented, so let's not do that, especially given our bionic conversations from earlier in this here episode. Oh, dang it. I hit the wrong spot. But join that. All of the social media handles, Twitter and all that stuff, is in the description of this episode. You can follow Paco on his trip. I think he's in Hawaii right now. Listen live at mixlr.com/dadpodcast and chat with other listeners while the show is going on. Completely ignore me if you'd like to. Check out Justin is married. Booker is single. I think we just put out a couple. Yeah, we put out a couple episodes, but we're going to try and get one done this week. I don't know if we'll do it. Spread the word about this show. Tell three people. Help it grow. Also, don't forget to go to thedadpodcast.com. Check out the Amazon banner at the bottom, because if you click on that banner and bookmark that shit, then buckle up, my friend, because not only are you going to experience the same Amazon everyone else will experience, but you will also be contributing to the show without even knowing it. In fact, ooh, good idea. Next time you're visiting a friend, go, hey, can I get on your computer real quick, find their Amazon bookmark, and fucking change that shit, and we can make me wealthy, and then I can tell any radio station to say, go screw yourself. I make money all by doing a podcast. I'm an idiot. On behalf of no one except for my dumb ass self and the $6 million penis, this is Justin Worsham saying, hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, everybody.